Blog Talk Radio.
Quiet. Fat pig, dog, slob.
It was the single biggest one.
I'm back!
Welcome back to another installment of Revolution Radio with your hosts, John Arbor and Jacob Davis. As always, our listeners can call us at 646-787-8249. That is 646-787-8249. We also can be followed on Twitter. That's at RevRadio2, at RevRadio2 on Twitter. Tweet us, follow us, and let you know about all the upcoming stuff. Well, we've been off for 2 weeks. Last week I tried a live celebration Indiana party, but I was drinking and it just got out of hand, so I ended it early. but yeah, so Donald Trump's now the presumptive nominee. I'm still not going to be convinced until he's at 12:37. They'll try to work something, which it looks impossible, but you know how they've so adamantly been against him. You have Bill Kristol vetting people for a possible third party run. He talked to Mitt Romney about it. You have Ted Cruz campaign sent out a thing about to his delegates saying to stay with Ted because he wants to make sure that he has the platform at the convention. So there's that going on. Also, people like Glenn Beck and Mark Levin, Jeb Bush, Lindsey Graham, all these never Trump people.
Yeah.
If Trump gets elected, and if he's a great president in 4 years, when he's running for re-election, I don't want them then. They can just stay home.
I wonder what they'll be like if that comes to pass. But wow, what a difference 2 weeks can make, though. You know, just thinking about where we were 2 weeks ago, we were almost certain we were going to have a contested convention. And now, I mean, I'm with you. What, he has to get the delegates. Let's make sure he gets them. But I think it's pretty much wrapped up now. I mean,
well,
both of them
like
conceding.
Tomorrow, Kansas and West Virginia. If he wraps up and wins Kansas and West Virginia, wins all those delegates, that's like 70 delegates. And he'll be 100 away. So it's over if he does that. But
it's pretty much, I think it's over now.
Yeah, but if Ted Cruz and them are doing secret things, making sure, like, hush hush, sending out secret emails, and maybe the Trump people won't show up as in force, maybe that's their play to drop out so they can steal some stuff. So I want to see what happens tomorrow. He wins both of them tomorrow, it's over.
Mm-hmm. But what a knockout punch Cruz got delivered, though. I mean, let's go back in time a little bit. Back to April. Well, go back to New York. You know, that's the last time we had our show after the New York primary.
We didn't have after New York either, did we? Did we have after New York? Yeah, we did. Yeah, what was that?
Yeah, we had a New York one. But we were getting leading up to the, you know, the third Super Tuesday or fourth, whatever, April 26th. Donald Trump won every county in all five states, right? Am I right?
Yeah, every county. Every congressional district, not every delegate, because the one state was proportional. I think Ted Cruz won like five delegates. I don't know.
I mean,
it wasn't very many.
With huge margins, right? And they were still hanging on. What does he like to call them, the clingers? They're still hanging on for Indiana, our home state. which we went to a couple Trump rallies. We can tell you guys about that. But Indiana, see, I think our prediction was right. I mean, Indiana totally went Trump, giving him 53% of the vote. So ever since New York,
54.
I don't think he's ever gotten below 50%,
right? I think he had 54.7 and Ted Cruz had 37.7, a 17-point victory. It was 17 on the dot, I know that much. So.
I mean.
And
then we got the,
and
yeah, go ahead.
Yet John Kasich still being defiant. That's what I'm worried about. The next day he comes out and drops out, but he was defiant that night. Like, why did John Kasich drop out? Is there a secret plan we don't know about? Then you have Paul Ryan, who refuses to endorse Trump. We need to get rid of Paul Ryan. Sarah Palin now is...
Okay, the way
Sarah
I feel...
Palin is trying to get rid of him.
I think a lot of these sore losers, Paul Ryan, all of them, let them lick their wounds for a couple months. I think a lot of them are going to turn around. Because what I think is going to happen is everything's still raw. So if you're a Cruz person,
yeah,
you're still raw, you're never Trump, whatever. Let a month or two go by.
It's some of the people that endorse Trump. You have Dick Cheney endorse Trump. Dick Cheney, who is, by everybody's estimate, the mad scientist behind the Iraq War. And Donald Trump blasted the Iraq War. And then Dick Cheney, after his presumptive nominee, comes out and endorses him. None of the Bushes do, but Dick Cheney does. So that gets me to thinking, maybe Dick Cheney wasn't the mad scientist behind it all, like they put it out there. Maybe he was just a fall guy that they wanted him to be the face behind it so they didn't get blamed as much for it. Because I just find it strange he comes out and endorses him. Then, of all people, John McCain.
Yeah. Well, I think the Bushes feel personally offended and attacked by Trump because, I mean, he was relentless with Jeb. And so if that happened to your brother, you might not side with him. So I don't know if they'll ever come over. But what I'm saying is after a couple months of everything, you know, healing a little bit, and then you see Donald Trump start going after Hillary, and then they start seeing Hillary more as a possibility, I think a lot of people are going to come over. I think we're going to be unified, and I think we're going to be fine. But these latecomers, you know.
I want to take a trip right now in the Wayback Machine. Let's go back to the beginning. First Republican debate, right?
Yeah. Fox News.
The whole thing. Raise your hand if you will support the nominee. Only one person didn't raise their hand, and it seems to be the nominee. And we already know that Jeb Bush and Lindsey Graham said they cannot support Trump. They both raised their hand. Lindsey Graham wasn't there, but if Lindsey Graham was there, he would have raised his hand.
If he would have made it to the big boy table.
Yeah. Well, he was at the little kid's Thanksgiving table, so he didn't get to raise his hand. But they put that question in there because they were afraid of Trump not supporting the nominee. Then they forced him to sign a thing, and they all signed it, that they would support the nominee and they wouldn't run third party, right?
Yeah.
What do we have them doing? We have them not supporting the nominee. And we have Bill Kristol meeting with Mitt Romney and other conservatives devising a plan of how to run a third party. So everything they have accused Trump of, they're doing. Then what did we hear? Oh, if Trump loses in a contested convention, he's going to pick up his toys, pack them up, and go home. Who's doing it? They are. They're picking up their toys and going home.
Yeah, they were projecting the whole way. And that was totally squared towards Donald Trump. And they got him to agree to it. They all agreed. They even agreed in a later Fox News debate that they would support. Now they're backing out. I think some of them will come back, though, because the writing's on the wall. It's just amazing, though. It's amazing that the Republican one is wrapped up. You have Donald Trump taking on 16 other competitors. Hillary Clinton only had two. Well, she actually had three in the beginning.
I think they had five total. I think there's five total, but some of them you didn't hear of.
They dropped out
like,
really fast, like Jim Webb.
Wasn't there like a Lincoln Chafee or something? Or is that some weird, I don't know
you're
if
right.
it's a Democrat or Republican. But
you're right. There's a Lincoln Chafee, but they dropped out fast. She's still trying to get her delegates. And Bernie's still winning, while Donald Trump is sealed.
I hope Bernie keeps winning, because you know what that's going to do? it's going to make those Bernie fans feel like, oh, man, they are corrupt, and Trump keeps hitting on it, and we're going to get some of those votes. Guarantee you.
Yeah. But, so, I also want to go back in the back time machine, because there was that week for Ted Cruz that was just horrible for him and horrible for the Cruz bots. I mean, remember when he picked Carly Fiorina?
Like, yeah. The worst thing he could have done was pick Carly Fiorini. Or Fiorini. I can't say her name. That was terrible.
So Donald,
terrible.
Okay, so Donald Trump, the man who previously had a 50 or 30% or whatever ceiling, he dominates five states, wins every county in every state, breaking 50%, 60%. So he needs to do something. What does he do? He announces his vice president, Carly Fiorina, which I can't imagine gave him anything. I mean, what was her support? Like zero? So he nominates her. That was a fiasco.
I think only Ted Cruz fans liked that nominee, and even some of them didn't.
No, first he picks a woman because no true man will attack a woman. So that was going to be his bulldog to go after Hillary. It's just pandering to the woman's vote. It was just kind of pathetic to me. And
well,
he just had a couple other.
He was mathematically eliminated at that time, which means his only hope was a contested convention. And when you go to the contested convention, the vice presidency is also contested. So he had no reason to pick. He had no authority, no precedent to pick a vice president. It's
no,
like
he was eliminated.
And he was just trying to put him. Yeah, he was eliminated. It was up to the convention to pick a vice president if he was nominated because it was going to be contested.
And that's what was so hilarious about it. Then, later that week, he makes his pact with John Kasich. And that backfired horribly on him. I think everybody was against that. Like, what are you doing? I thought you're the principled one. Now you're aligning with the most establishment guy there is? You know? So, I thought that was pretty bad. I also thought, like, you know, he always said it was a two-man race. Well, they needed two men to try to take on Trump, but it didn't work. Indiana came in, sealed the deal. Bobby Knight.
Even if they added up their total, Trump still beats him. In, like, the last six states?
Yeah, the last six states. So the people had spoken. It's Trump. He dropped out, but Kasich wasn't dropping out yet, which I thought, what? And then Kasich had this big announcement. Now, when that happened, I thought Kasich was going to announce his vice president, but I guess he dropped out. I would
have
loved it if he
would have
picked Carly Fiorina.
You see Marco's announcement today saying that he doesn't want the vice presidency and everything. I saw days ago that when Ben Carson took over the vice president, I don't know if anybody else saw a report, that when Ben Carson was put in charge of finding the vice president, his first thing was to cross Marco Rubio off the list. Rubio didn't drop out. He was campaigning behind the scenes. That's all the reports. And when Trump appointed Ben, Ben's first action of duty was to cross Rubio off.
Hmm. Now, I
Rubio
thought
was
Rubio
was his delegate. He was going to give him the Trump to become his vice president. So this has been over for longer than they've played it out to be. Rubio's positioned himself. But when Trump started dominating delegates, he became irrelevant.
He
was just
him.
Little Marco.
Little Marco, go cry to Uncle Bush.
But what I'm saying is, okay, here we are today. Trump is the nominee. Say Mitt Romney and Bill Kristol from the National Review, they all get together and they get a third-party candidate. What do you do if you're Trump?
Well, I lambast them, exposing them for what they are. Of course, everybody would see that. I don't know. What would you do? Do you have a good idea?
I do have a good idea. I call Bernie Sanders, say, hey, Bernie, we don't agree on everything, but we agree on trade. Let's get that done. Let's unite together because if Hillary gets in, that's not going to get done. that at least that will be better if you come on my team. We'll get that done. And get Bernie Sanders. So if it's Trump Sanders, and everybody will throw a fit, but if they're already trying to undermine him, I don't give a crap. Pick Bernie. Because Bernie and Trump couldn't be stopped, them together. It'd be unstoppable.
Oh yeah. That would definitely be unstoppable, but I don't think it's able to be put together. I mean, they're so divergent on some issues. Now, there are some that they agree on.
I feel like if they launch a third candidate, which they've been trying to do behind the scenes, that would be Trump's ultimate play. Somehow get Bernie on board.
If they ran a third party, which I find even more outrageous today than it would have been 2 weeks ago, if they actually did that, I'd be done with the Republicans forever. I don't know any Republican that wouldn't be done with the Republicans. Donald Trump won fair and square. I mean, he took on unbelievable odds, and he won. He actually did it. He's completed it. And to take it away now, let's see what happens. All these doom and gloom sayers, Hillary Clinton is not that strong of a candidate.
Well, you
she's extremely weak.
In these polls, you have, well, it was the poll they always show. They show the latest one, CNN, where he's losing, what, by 11 or 12 or 13?
Yeah, irrelevant.
Probably 10 to 15% of that poll are these never Trump, Cruz, and Casey people that are still hurt. They're not going to vote for Hillary. That's not going to happen.
No,
they
say they're going to stay home.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, if you look at the polls, me and Ted Cruz too, the Trump people didn't like Ted Cruz. That's why Ted Cruz was losing to Hillary. The reason Donald Trump's losing to Hillary is because the Ted Cruz and John Casey people are mad at Trump. So, yeah, I'll vote for Hillary. The reason John Casey was winning, because no one took John Casey seriously. Donald Trump people didn't care about Casey. They knew he wasn't going to be in. Neither did Ted Cruz. So when they were called, and I said, yeah, we'll vote for John Casey over Hillary. That's why he was winning. Not that he was a better candidate. He just didn't have the negative feelings from the other candidates against him that caused him to say, I'll vote for Hillary over that guy. That's the only thing.
True, and I don't think a majority of Americans have even looked at or come across what are actually Trump's policies. Because I think it would appeal to your average American so much if they just had the policies and the platform laid out with no names attached to it.
Remember how I was talking about, I'd say Trump winning 25% of the black vote, right? And this is heresy. They've been at all. But the more I get into it and the more endorsements that come out from the African-American community, the more I think he could get close to 50% of it. Did you see, what's her name? Azealia Banks or something like that?
Yeah.
The one who said that Sarah Palin is racist because she's supporting Donald Trump and should be gang raped by black men.
She's not endorsed
Trump. She's done a total 360.
I know, because she said he talks to them like people, and Hillary talks to them like children or pets.
And
that's how the Democratic Party does.
Yeah. If more of these people keep coming out, imagine I can see them winning 50% of the black vote.
You know? Donald Trump doesn't want to He doesn't want to console people for their grievances and all that stuff. He wants to get them a good job and get America making money again, making this place run again. We've gone all this whole Obama time with not a single year of 3% growth. There's a whole generation of young people that have never seen growth in this country.
Obama and the
12
years of Bush, too. Yeah, the last 4 years of Bush, too.
That's been so long since we've had any meaningful growth. When you have a growth in the economy, everything's looking brighter. All your issues start going away. Your debt issues go away. All sorts of things.
Yeah, and I just want to put this out there for all the Never Trump people. Go back and watch the 1988 interview that Donald Trump did with Larry King at the Republican National Convention. He's talking about the same stuff he's talking about today. He hasn't changed his views. Do you guys really think 20 years ago he was plotting this run for presidency? In 20 years, after we get the horrible president, I'm going to run. But right now, I'm laying the groundwork of my views. People weren't thinking about the stuff he's talking about today back then. This is stuff he believes in.
Yeah. And what's Hillary going to do for anybody? What, she's going to replace your jobs with some new government jobs, like she's going to do in West Virginia? She's going to fight for transgendered rights or whatever? I mean, I don't see anything centered for American people. You know, and Trump, they say, oh, it's the death of conservatism. The death of conservatism.
How is he not conservative?
I mean, what does it mean to be conservative? That's the question. What do they mean by conservative?
They say stuff like, oh, he wants to have a progressive tax plan. We've always had a progressive tax. Ronald Reagan's tax cuts, his tax plan was a progressive tax plan. Ronald Reagan is the all-saint god of conservatism. He was a progressive tax plan. The way it works. Because if you have a flat tax or a fair tax, it punishes the working poor and the lower middle class. It pushes people into poverty from the middle class. People that would be in the middle class are now in poverty because you have a fair tax. But the people that are wealthy, they just getting a little extra money. It doesn't really affect their lives all that much. And I'm not saying, oh, we need to take money from rich people, but I'm saying if you make $1 million and you pay 10%, that's $100,000, which is a lot of money. But if you make $20,000 and you pay 10%, you save $2,000. That's a lot more to the person that has $20,000 than the $100,000 to the person that has $1 million.
Exactly. That's always made sense to me. I mean, we don't need extreme, like 90% tax rates on the top.
No.
But the more you make, the higher bracket. I've always liked that sort of tax system. I think it's fair.
What it does is it allows people to build up and build their way out of poverty into the middle class, from the lower middle class into the middle class, and from there to the upper middle class, to the upper class. You can build your way up that way. If you already have it just a flat tax, which is fair, 100% fair, but it doesn't work. It's like socialism. Socialism's fair, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, and even more to get people out of poverty, you need an entrepreneurial spirit going through this country like we've had at different times. And I haven't felt an entrepreneurial spirit in this country in my lifetime, really. I know things were going well in the 90s, but we need that sort of thing. I think that Trump can kind of instill that sort of feeling. You know, we're getting jobs back. We're not cutting bad deals anymore. We're focusing on America. And then as we start getting America going good again, then we can build on our successes. It's a very positive message. It's not a scary message at all. It's a positive message.
This is how I look at it. Right now we're helping everybody, right? It's like,
yeah,
hey, you married your family, your wife and you have five kids, barely making it by. You're not going to go and adopt another child because you can't help that child, or you can help that child, but then everybody else will have to suffer. That's
exactly
what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And that's what Hillary Clinton wants us to do. Donald Trump's the guy that he has three children, and he might want a fourth child, but first let's make sure we can afford it. Let's make sure we get our situation in order first. That's what America needs to do right now. We don't need to worry about everybody else. We don't need to send foreign aid to Africa for AIDS. We don't. I'm sorry. I know. Oh, you're not being compassionate. No, I'm not. Because you can only send so much money before you're in the same situation. You can never see a homeless guy that gets a job. They say a homeless guy gets a job at McDonald's, making $7.25 an hour. He's not going to go out there and start donating money to the homeless charities. He's trying to get himself in order first. If he works his way up and becomes a manager, an addition manager, then maybe he starts giving money to homeless charities because he's been there. But when you just start working, or you're just banking it by, you can't do that.
Yeah. Like, as of today, America is still great. America is still powerful. But we're kind of hollowed out. We're not as solid as we were at one time. And what we need to do is rebuild our foundation. Get that going again. And then we can help build the world again. I love the fact of seeing Shanghai. If you see a picture of Shanghai in like 1991, and then you see one in 2011, you know, just it's unbelievable the growth there. And I like that sort of thing. And it's great. The trade between us has been good. But it's also been leaking things away from our country to help that go. And that's fine and everything, but now it's time to focus back on us. And Hillary Clinton is not going to do that. She is all about the international globalist sort of thing. You know, as long as they have their councils in charge of everything, just be like a war zone, you know, hollowed out.
And then we have Glenn Beck. Is Glenn Beck still on the air? I haven't been around the radio around the time he's on. Is he still on the air? Does he still have a radio show?
Yeah, they've taken away all the sharp objects from him for a while just to, you know, to monitor him, but he's still on the air. And actually,
I remember seeing a speech he gave at a stump speech at one of the campaign rallies that he gave for Ted in Indiana. And he said, God's making this drag out. He wants to make every state vote to pick good or evil. This was the night before the election, before Indiana. So obviously, Glenn Beck's prophetic word was one of a false prophet since Indiana ended it.
Did you vote for evil, John?
I voted for America.
Yeah, Glenn, actually, I was so excited to listen to him on the day after Indiana, you know. But he kind of seemed like he had accepted it. Like, he already knew it was going to happen. He wasn't as sad as I had, hate to say, I hoped to be entertained with. He's just focusing on other things.
I listened to Mark Levin during the election. My dad was. I called my dad, and, like, they've called it for Trump, and he goes, what? I'm listening to Mark Levin right now, and Mark Levin's live at that time. And he's telling people that the media is lying, go vote, the polls aren't closed. And I'm sitting there saying, the polls are clearly closed. It's 7:30 at night. They close at 6.
Oh, there were some polls that closed at 7, I think.
Yeah, but this was 7. This was 8:30 our time. It was 7:30 their time. It was past time. The polls were closed.
Oh, I know. When I went down to Indianapolis for the Trump rally, I listened to Mark Levin on the way home. And boy, was he bitter. He was not a very happy camper, and he did not like Trump, and he thought Trump's foreign policy is, I don't know, not just stupid, but dangerous and ridiculous. And I personally loved that foreign policy speech he gave.
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
Where do they think the Founding Fathers are going to side with? The Founding Fathers are the ones who threw the tea into the Boston Harbor. They were all about America first.
Trump does not want to get entangled in these things that we've been doing for the last 30 years unless there's a direct benefit to the United States. And there's never been. We always just spill blood and treasure, and then we play Mr. Nice Guy, and we install like a fake government, but then it gets overthrown, and we end up with nothing over and over and over again. He doesn't want to play that game. You know, if we can be friends with people around there, good. And if they want to be enemies, then he's going to go all out on them. But he doesn't want to play these games. I don't know why people are so scared of Trump's foreign policy when it's the other people like Clinton's foreign policy to set up safe zones. And if Russian jets fly over it, shoot them down. That sounds a lot more scary to me than somebody that says, hey, I'd like to work with Russia if they're willing to work with us. You know, defeat a common enemy.
Yeah, we might have a real reset with Russia under Trump, unlike the fake one with Hillary Clinton. Brought out her red reset button. Yeah, what a failure Hillary Clinton has been. Like, how can anybody seriously think of voting for Hillary? No sane-minded person can vote for Hillary. This is all emotion. This is all people that think Trump are racist or are voting for Hillary because she's a woman. She has no accomplishments. She has no I don't see why you'd vote for her.
She has lots of failures. I mean, Libya, Russian reset, her campaign against Obama, and even Bernie Sanders is giving her a run for the money. I hope they go to a contested convention. I don't think it's going to happen, but... So all these people that are never Trump, they're going to have to look at Hillary and be like, do you want her as your president? When she's talking about, if the woman card is fighting for equal pay for equal work, then deal me in. And playing the fight song, and oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is just... This is ridiculous that anybody could possibly... That's a logical, sane-minded individual. Logically... say that Clinton would be the same or better than Trump.
No.
Looking at it right now, I mean, could be a complete dud. Let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
He's never been in government.
Yeah.
He could completely be fooling us all. But we know what Hillary Clinton is.
Exactly. Well, with Donald Trump, I really feel like there's a big chance that he's going to be one of the greatest presidents we ever had, or there's a chance that he could be a horrible president, you know? And I'm willing to throw the dice. Like, I really think, because I think that the first one has a lot better chance, and I don't see anything warning me about a horrible president. People talk about Hitler. You didn't have to go and look through Hitler's thing he did like 20 years ago to find some word he said about a woman to see if he's anti-woman. Hitler was obvious about who he was. Like, there's no comparison whatsoever. I haven't heard Trump say anything racist, anything. I actually haven't even heard him say anything sexist in my mind.
Well, you know, Margo, or was that was it Country Club Margo? What is it called? Oh, I can't think of the name of it. In Florida, you know what I'm talking about. Where he has his
Florida
victory speech. Yeah, it's Margo.
Oh, Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago, yeah. So back in the 80s or whatever, when you got it, all the country clubs there were just white only. And Trump got help because he said, everybody's invited, white, Mexican, everybody, women, men, no problem. He was before his time. You look at stuff he's done, there's no way you can say he's racist.
And how do they think he's racist? I think people believe he's racist because he's an old white man. And a lot of men that age are racist in some ways or something. But look where Trump grew up. He grew up in high society in cosmopolitan New York. Do you think like he's a backwoods hillbilly that hates black people because their skin ain't right? I mean, come on, let's use your brain. What kind of society did he grow up in? And especially if we're talking about racists against African Americans, I challenge anybody to tell me one thing he said. Now, Glenn Beck says that he was quoted saying, I don't want blacks to handle my money. Now, I've never found that anywhere. But that's the closest to anything I can find.
He clearly was the first country club in Florida there. Mar-a-Lago? To allow Mar-a-Lago was the first to allow blacks and Hispanics to join in the late 80s, early 90s. And this is something you would think would be happening already. You know, in the 80s and 90s, you'd think this would happen way sooner than that. But he was the first country club in the area to do that. So,
I mean,
that shows you right there Trump's not racist.
Not racist, not sexist. I don't think a disparaging thing about a woman is sexist. That's treating somebody just like anybody else. And I would like to, like when he talks about Carly Fiorina's face or whatever, right? First, he said he was talking about her personality. But even if he was talking about her face, that was in a private conversation. And also, I want everybody to think, have you ever said anything disparaging about a woman's looks in your life? Of course. Are you a sexist? I doubt you'll think you're a sexist. So why would you hold him to that standard?
Well, it's not only that. It's you look at Donald Trump. they attack him, and she did all week before this was said. She was making fun of his hair, his toupee. He has a toupee. That hair's not real. How can we know Donald Trump's real? His hair's not even real, right?
Yeah.
And then he attacks her, and it's like the worst thing. Well, if you don't want to have counterattacks and you don't think it's fair because you're a woman, why are you running?
Yeah, don't play the game. And is your comment about Trump, is that sexist, or is it only sexist when it's about a woman? And that in itself is sexist. So it's stupid. And I think that the Democrats that are happy, Trump, because they haven't been following it, right? Because they follow their own stuff. And they think, oh, Trump, he's going to be easy to defeat. You have no idea. You have no idea what he just had to go through to win that nomination.
Yeah,
He had to fight everyone.
Any modern day nominee has had such a fight to win the nomination. I don't even think any president has had that big of a fight in the general modern day.
No, not in my reckoning. I mean, that was hardcore from every angle coming at Trump, from the establishment of the party itself to the news organizations.
The dirty little secret, they keep saying the media's going to turn on Trump, the media's going to turn on Trump. I think the media likes Trump. I think they generally like Trump.
And can you imagine what that would do if that's actually true? If we actually had a Republican nominee that the media liked and preferred, it'd be over.
I think when he goes in there for an interview, he jokes around with them. They have fun. I think they generally like him.
I hope you're right.
He does the interview. He does the interview. They call and ask him, oh, did you see what show was that? Oh, someone was interviewing him. Oh, who was it? It was on CNN or MSNBC or something like that. And they started, this was right after he was the presumptive nominee, and he asked him a question, right? And, it's just like, they're like, Trump's, I saw, Michelle Malcolm, who I used to like, is just annoying with her Twitchy account, and she's always attacking Trump. These people need to get on board. They need to realize this is the way we're going right now. Trump is who we picked. Hillary Clinton is going to be a disaster. And if you continue your ridiculousness, you are to blame. The blood's on your hands. You're like Julius Caesar when Jesus died. Was it Caesar, Julius Caesar? And wash this. You can try to wash the blood off your hands, but you're not. But
it was Pontius Pilate.
Pontius Pilate. But they go, he asked him some question, and I hit him on, try to do some sexist question. And he goes, hey, wait a second. So I come on here and do the interview, and you haven't even congratulated me about winning the nomination. Don't you think you should do that first? And the guy's like, whoa. And Donald Trump just takes him to task. And everybody's like, he's throwing a fit. No, Donald Trump just handled the media like no other Republican nominee.
Oh, I know. He'll go after him. He'll attack him, but he's also super friendly. He keeps them off balance and keeps the ratings high. And that's another thing people need to remember. Donald Trump knows how to get along with people. That's basically what he does, other than the business part of his job.
I've seen these people say, oh, now Hillary Clinton's going to get all the free airtime on the media. Do you think the media is going to go cover a Hillary Clinton rally? Or are they going to go to a Donald Trump rally? What's going to get them ratings? What's going to get them money?
Boring. So maybe we should talk about our rally that we went to.
Which one?
Yeah, well, we went to two different rallies. Our first rally, I drove down to by where John lives and went down to Indianapolis. It was right after Bobby Knight endorsed Trump. I think you were at the town hall, right, John?
Yeah.
Greta at that time?
Yep.
Then we went in there. It was pretty cool. I liked it a lot. They filled up this big auction barn place.
We got to see the hockey stadium for our semi-professional hockey league.
We got in pretty close. Got to see the Donald and Don Jr. And it, and you know, it was pretty fun. Oh, and Bobby Knight, yeah. Bobby Knight endorsed Trump. It was all around a pretty good time. Lots of people, lots of excitement. You could tell it was going to go well.
Very diverse group. I saw a lot of people that I thought were going to be protesters. I saw them, I'm like, uh-oh, Bernie Sanders people, just wait. And then Donald comes out, and they're going crazy. I'm like, holy crap. These people like Donald Trump?
Taking selfies with him in the background and young people. A lot of women. I don't know where people get that women don't like Trump, because a lot of women, and I'll tell you, some good-looking girls, too.
Oh,
no protesters.
Saying that, Jake.
Huh?
You're sexist for saying that.
No,
good-looking,
and I'm just
women,
being
that's
honest.
A sexist statement.
That's not sexist. That's flattery. And it's truth as well. But there's no protesters at the one in one. I saw one sad little protester at the one in Indianapolis. He had a sign. It was homemade. And it said, if you vote for Trump, your parents must be brother and sister. And he kind of just stood there. And he didn't have any other friends come join him. And by the time I left, and I left a little early, he was gone. But then we went to the one in South Bend the day before.
I think we should tell our stories of arriving separately, since we arrived separately. Like, you go ahead, and then I'll tell mine.
Of which one? South Bend one?
Yep.
Okay, so here's my story. I went with my friend Jake and John, and not the one that I'm talking to right now. And we got down there. We parked. We just followed the crowd over this bridge. And then they actually had a lot of protesters, which was kind of fun. And they're all on the side of the road opposite of us going, F Trump, F Trump, F Trump. And as we were walking, they kind of like got in like a little rectangle of people, and they kind of like tried to push into our line. Then the police pushed them back, and they just F Trump. And we got through all that. But one thing I noticed about the crowd of the protesters is they're all like young kids, like 18 to 20 years old, it seemed like. There was a couple Mexican people with Mexican flags and a couple homeless-looking men. And it might be sexist, but I have to include the women in their group were ugly as heck. And so we finally get in there, and I'm a little confused because there's all these people, and they kind of usher us into this room. And this room we're in, it's like a big round room, and there's no way Trump's going to be in here. And what we found out was it was so full, they had to send us to an overflow room. So we're sitting there. We're not going to be able to see the rally, so that kind of sucks, but we'll be able to hear it. And then a little bit later, I go to leave, and they opened up the big rally. There was another room, too, full of people John will tell you about. But I was able to get into the big rally and got to see a little bit, and then the people I was with got to see them a little bit. And so it was good.
I worked till 3. Rally's at 7, so I arrive at probably 6:30. I don't know, 6:20. And we don't leave till 4 because I had to pick up my sister because teenagers and are unreliable. They don't think things through and don't make things problematic. Everything's a problem. But we get there at 6:20, so we're walking, right? And the first person I encounter is a protester, and he's holding a sign that says, Donald Trump loves Nickelback. And I think, is that negative? Is that a selling point? Is that going to change someone's mind about Donald Trump? He loves Nickelback? Is that the best thing you can come up with? Then we'll walk in, there's like this homeless guy, and this is on the side of the rally before we get to the building. And he has a sign that says, Donald Trump. And my sister's boyfriend looks at him and goes, it's like written on, like, it looks like he took a pizza box and, like, tore off the lid and wrote, Dump Trump.
Yeah.
And my sister's boyfriend goes, that's not too impressive. You put a lot of thought into that, didn't you? And the guy starts cussing at us like he has Tourette's. Can't even, it's just cuss word. There's no, not even comprehensible. So I'm like, okay, well, we see. So we see the protesters, and you're walking up, and the protesters are across the street. Probably a group of, what, you'd say about 200 of them?
Yeah,
that.
About
200. There's like 50 cops just locked arms keeping them, and they're waving Mexican flags, and they have signs that say, make America Mexico again, dump Trump, F Trump. And the one girl is holding up a sign that says, I work 3 jobs, F Trump. And my sister's boyfriend, I mean, he's got a little rowdy, something I wouldn't have done. But he goes, Billy Bob, John, and Ray aren't jobs. Prostitution's not a job.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
But you had to see this girl, the way she was dressed. I mean, she looked like a streetwalker, so it was pretty funny. And then she got all upset. And then some guy yelled back at him and said, this was very young at him. He said, whatever, go back to what he told him. Go back to Candyland and live in your fantasy world. And you're just mad because you're going to lose your food stamps. And the one guy goes, what would you do if your grandmother was starving? And he goes, I'd go to work and get the money I make at my job and go buy her food. And
yeah,
they had no response for that. Like, the job was like a foreign object, like a job. So we get there and we get in, and the Secret Service puts us in this room. And it's clearly the room, because I've seen people who went to the Bernie Sanders had a rally the day before at the same venue. Clearly the room that Bernie Sanders filled up. This is overflow room number 2. It's full, standing room only. I'd say 1,500 people in there. It was elbow to elbow. I mean, and I was like, oh. And then I was like, I heard someone saying they're letting people into the other room. So I go, oh, we get up and they let us in. We go in and find Jake and his friends and stuff, and they're there. And they go to leave, and they call me and say, hey, they're letting in Trump. So we get to go see Trump. And it's all cool. You see Trump, and our cousin Caleb was there. He's a huge Trump fan. He's what, 13 now, 13, 14? Can't go, but he's all for Trump. He's been for Trump since the beginning. I mean,
mm-hmm.
So we see Trump, and you know, he had Digger Phelps was there speaking, and Gene Cady. They're both speaking, and then Lou Holtz had just endorsed him that day. It was real big, you know. So then
yeah.
We go to leave, and the Trump protesters are there still, and there's like 200 protesters, and there's like 400 people just outside that didn't even get into the rally, just looking at the protesters, laughing, like, you know, they were ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we're driving, and they're driving down the road, and their pants are down to their knees, hanging out the window of their car with signs F Trump and this and that, yelling, and I just look at them, and like, don't worry, Donald Trump loves you too. He'll make America great for you too. And they're F Trump. I said, don't worry. I said, all four of you in that little car with your homemade signs, making $7.25 an hour to protest. When Trump becomes president, he'll bring back some manufacturing. He'll get a $20 an hour job. And each one of you can have a car. And they're like, F Trump.
I know
that's really a gay statement. Like, F Trump? Is that how you really feel?
Well, that's what I kept on. Well, I know they were yelling at you after you left and everything. F Trump. That's all they could say is just F Trump. And I was thinking, man, I like Trump, but, man, I don't like him that much. Jeez, you know?
Yeah, but it's just – these protesters were just, I would say, mainly youth.
Yeah,
I saw some
definitely.
Bernie Sanders signs, which I was surprised to see Bernie Sanders signs. I'm glad he's winning. I feel like that's going to help Donald, but – to be a Bernie Sanders person, I guess you do have to be somewhat delusional to think that everything's just going to be free. But if you look at this race, he's done. He has no chance. I mean, what does he already need, 100 more delegates?
She only needs like 155.
And it's not like the Republican side where they're winner-take-all. I mean, every contest is proportional, so he's not going to gain on her that much.
No.
Like, I heard something that she wins 12% of the vote in the remaining contest. She locks it up. So it's over. What are these Bernie people still, like, what do they think they're going to accomplish? Do they show up at Hillary Clinton events? Do they do this at Hillary Clinton events? Because Bernie Sanders is never going to compete with Trump. That's a fact. Are they not showing up at Hillary and doing this to Hillary? Well, why not?
I don't know, but it's over. It's going to be Clinton and Trump. I hope we can get some Bernie people. I hope we can get some Hillary people. going to be very interesting as the real general election picks up. I mean, I don't think the Democrats have any idea what's coming if they haven't been following this. If they just think, oh, those crazy Republicans, they picked crazy Donald Trump. Man, that guy went through fire.
Do you see what Donald Trump does, right? He does body blows, right? Body blow, body blow, body blow. He's like a boxer. He wears them down. He had Ted Cruz wore down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was still going to win. And you notice every time before they drop out, they have the person always has, the candidate always has that moment where they, like, go crazy. Like Marco Rubio and his Donald Trump has little hands. You know, he went crazy right before he dropped out,
yeah.
Right? Jeb Bush.
Too
is,
far.
Yeah, Jeb Bush goes crazy. Even I remember, I don't remember exactly, you had Lindsey Graham going crazy because he's in breaking his cell phone on a YouTube video. And then you had, yeah, he always did. He didn't get Ted Cruz till the very end. He said something about the National Choir and his dad being at New Orleans.
JFK.
Just to egg him on.
Yeah.
And then Ted Cruz lost it. He lost it. It's like, that's what Trump does. Once they lose it, you know Trump's got it. So I'm looking for that with Hillary. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. He's already going after her about her being an enabler.
Yeah.
Talking
enabler
about how she destroyed those women. And that's something that no other Republican candidate would have gone after that route.
No. No. I feel like by the end of this, it's going to be like the Republican nomination. I mean, they've been putting this out. Contested convention. Trump has no chance. But Trump blew through it. He dominated. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
All right. So I want to know, was there any time during this whole time that you were worried? And what moments were those that you thought it was over? Or were you always a believer?
I was slightly worried after the Iowa election.
Iowa?
But after the follow-up and everything Ted Cruz did, I would say by the next morning I was pretty confident Trump was going to take this. I just saw Ted Cruz, his campaign strategy was one that I felt would wear on voters, so I was confident in Trump. Ted Cruz was the only competition I felt Trump had. The rest of them I wasn't worried about. But
I got to say, I was most worried around the Wisconsin time, that week where Donald Trump had the punishing women for abortions, and then Wisconsin, and I think there was another thing. Oh, and you had that stupid Michelle Fields thing. All that was going on at the same time. And I thought, wow, they just threw everything at him, and I think that maybe that they can't be beat. You know what I'm talking about, like the establishment
not,
or whatever
you're not
you
going
like to
into
call
depth.
It.
You're not even going into the depth of desperation they were at. They had not only did that, they had all the talk show hosts in Wisconsin. There's a lot of conservative talk show hosts in Wisconsin, I find out now. Go all anti-Trump. They went all in. They went all in. And Ted Cruz went all in Wisconsin. And he won.
Yeah.
He went all in and won. But Trump had enough that he could call him in Wisconsin and still have a hefty sum of chips left. And then once New York happened, I don't think Ted Cruz tried in New York or any that hard. I think he tried a little bit in Pennsylvania but saw the writing on the wall and then went all in again in Indiana. But
yeah.
At that point, the pot that Donald Trump had built up was just so monstrous that unless Ted Cruz won Indiana, it was over. And not only did he not win it, he got crushed. He got absolutely crushed. And what, 2 months we've been telling people Indiana is a Trump state. And then you listen to the media and you listen to the Glenn Becks and oh, Indiana's a tailor-made state for Ted Cruz. No, it's not.
No.
Not.
Maybe in another year, but not with a Trump. I could definitely tell Indiana was a Trump state the whole time. And I love the
Elkhart County. Elkhart County was one of them that went for Ted Cruz. one of the four by
2008. Well, well, we have a lot of Hispanics here. I don't know if that counted, but I told you when I didn't see very many signs at all. Like, everybody was keeping really reserved around where I live. And I did see a couple Ted Cruz every once in a while. But I don't know. I did my part. I voted. I got other people to go vote, too. It's too bad. I know that my brother wanted to vote for Ted Cruz, so I told him the wrong date to go vote. And then my grandpa and grandma probably would have voted for Ted Cruz, but they're disenchanted with all of it, so they didn't vote at all. So I did my part. But what about Mitch Daniels? Huh?
You mean Mike Pence? Not Mitch Daniels.
Oh, Mike Pence. What about Mike Pence's tepid endorsement of Cruz? I thought that was hilarious. He talks about how great Donald Trump is for about 10 minutes, and he goes, well, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm voting for Ted Cruz. Can I have my wife and children back? Yeah.
Glenn Beck has him held. Glenn Beck had him held. All Glenn Beck. Oh. What is Glenn Beck going to do? He looks like a complete fool. How anybody who listens to Glenn Beck can still be, I seriously just, I don't get it.
Well, he is going through troubles, though, with his website and his stuff. I know he has to be, because I heard about all these layoffs and stuff.
His prophetic word of Ted Cruz being the Mormon prophet spoke of by John, what was his name? Is it John Smith?
Yeah, Joseph.
He's the Mormon guy. Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith.
Yeah, spoke of the prophet Ted Cruz. Glenn Beck anointed him, and his prophet was defeated.
Well, did you see Glenn Beck's reaction, though, afterwards? I can't remember. I wish I had it all, like, written out. But basically he said that we've shown everyone that we are all these things. One of them was racist. You know, it's like, what are you talking about, Glenn? Come on. This has nothing to do with racism.
So, these people, the Glenn Becks, the Mark Levins, the Bill Kristols, the Jeb Bushes, Paul Ryans, the list goes on, the Michelle Malkins, the, who's
Proud
the
Hammers,
the Shapiro, what's his name, Bill Shapiro. If these guys don't get on the Trump train, and they stay like they are before the election, I'd say they can all just go. We don't need them. I don't want to hear in 4 years, if Trump's been a good president, how much they love Trump. Then they're liars. Just go.
Either get on the train or you go get off, or you're going to get run over. There's three choices.
Just go. And I don't want to see you guys anymore. Lindsey Graham, go.
What I think it is, well, there's all – people have different reasons, but like the National Review people and Charles Krauthammer, I think what it is not that they hate Trump. They don't think that Trump's conservative. It's none of those things, even though that's what they argue. I think what is deep down for them is that Trump has proved them wrong over and over and over again. And they don't like that because they like a Charles Krauthammer, he knows how politics is supposed to be run. He's been watching it all this time. But when it comes to Trump, all of his previous calculus and all the things he uses just doesn't work. He just keeps on being shown wrong and wrong and wrong.
Why are they so stupid? As soon as Trump got in the race, and as soon as he shut up, and as soon as he was talking about what people want him to talk about, as soon as he started talking about the wall, as soon as he started talking about illegal immigration, as soon as he started talking about these illegal immigrants that have killed people in these sanctuary cities, as soon as he talked about we're losing in trade, that's what people talk about. Our jobs are leaving. Let's bring them back. Donald Trump's not saying, I'm going to raise tax. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to try to lure them back by lowering their taxes, try to lure them back. I'm going to shut off their safe havens. I won't make that. He's not doing the traditional. He says, okay, they can leave. They don't want to be here, but they ship that product back. I'm taxing them.
Yeah.
That's a practical solution.
He's going to play some hardball with these people. These are multinational corporations. They're playing hardball every day of the week. They got armies of lawyers and attorneys. Can't we have somebody fighting for us? I mean, come on. And then, oh, Glenn, he said if Trump builds the wall, which he's not going to, then he's going to apologize to Trump. And if Mexico pays for it, which they're not going to, he'll apologize to Trump, he said.
I'd like to, what people don't see is the day after the nominee, old Vicente Fox, who cussed Trump terribly on national TV, apologized to Trump and wants to meet with Trump. Because they know, the reason they were trying to stop him from getting the nomination is they knew if he was nominated, he's going to be the president. Now they're trying to be friendly. Now they're like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? Too late.
Yeah,
now.
I don't know if Mexico's going to pay for that wall, but I know that wall's going to get built.
No, well, Mexico's going to pay for it one way or another.
Yeah, I know, but, like, to me, all that really matters to me is we do need to control the border. Let's control it. We can't have all of Central and South America come here as much as they want. It's just
the funny
thing,
with Trump, and Trump standing there, and then someone did like a, I don't know, CGI image of like this beautiful wall, like with gold keys on it, like marble, you know, like the most beautiful wall you could think of. Not like your ordinary border wall. And it says, don't think I can make Mexico pay for the wall. I made the media pay for my campaign. Checkmate.
That's funny.
But that's true.
I liked it when they said, huh?
They all talk, oh, $2 billion of free advertising for Trump. Well, it worked.
He did it, didn't he?
They're mad because Trump's smarter than them. That's what it is. He's smarter than them. They don't know how to regulate them. They don't know how to minimize him. They think they get him, but they don't. Oh, he called you. He said that he doesn't like his war heroes caught. That's not real. That's not a real war hero. Well, it's not. I mean, I respect military people. I respect prisoners of war. But when you think of a hero, you think of the word. What do you think of? Superman, Batman.
I think of the guy that rescues the prisoners of war.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't think of the people who got caught. You don't think, oh, the little kid in the you're watching Spider-Man and the train's falling off and Spider-Man throws the web to stop the train car from crashing and saves the little kid. You don't think, oh, that little kid was a hero. No, Spider-Man was a hero.
Yeah. And John McCain was talking crap about him. You know, like, it's not like he's just this nice old war hero that was just minding his own business. He was talking bad about him.
You see, oh, Elizabeth Warren go on a Twitter war trying to attack Trump, and Trump called her a goofus.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of it.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm such a wordsmith, and the best he can come up with is goofus.
Just wait, Elizabeth. You want to really play that game?
I don't think Warren wants to go there with Trump. She's out of her league.
No. She's the funniest thing ever is the story about her winning the National Woman of Color Award at her college. You know, she's white as a lily. Like, she's lily white. And she won the National Woman of Color. So you really want to go there with your Cherokee roots? I'm sure that Trump can find a really good label for you, squaw woman, you know? Like,
I tell you what's going to happen is you're going to have the general election is going to be like the Republican primary. Donald Trump, and it's going to be close, and Donald Trump starts taking the lead. And right before it, he's going to bring up the story it was in the National Enquirer how Chelsea Clinton really isn't Bill's daughter because Bill's impotent. That's what's going to happen. and then the Clintons are going to lose it, and it's going to push Donald Trump over the top.
Well, I don't know. I think Hillary can just lose it herself. If she goes down this right road of woman stuff, I mean, I think that Hillary could actually win if she played it smart. If she played it down the middle, acted like she's just a, I'm a middle of the road. I want to bring the economy like it was during my husband's.
But
we
she
just want
to
get this
she
job.
Has to beat Bernie, she has to beat Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders has pulled her so far left now.
I know. But if she could do that, then she could win and just scare people about Donald Trump, tell their lies like they will do, and just play down the middle. But if she does this woman's thing too much, it's going to sicken people. It sickened me and my sister. We were watching Hillary's victory speech after the April 26th, and it was just sickening, John, her thing about women, and then she ended with the "This is my fight" song, and it was just cringeworthy. If she goes down that road and America has to make the choice between LGBT and women's rights versus getting a good economy and a strong America, I don't think we're that far gone. I think that she's going to get destroyed in a landslide.
How many states do you think Donald Trump will win?
All of them.
I don't think he'll win all of them.
I don't know. It's so hard. You can't project any of this stuff. I got to see how it all plays out. How well he can get her.
I think he takes Michigan. I think he takes Pennsylvania. And I think New York will be a toss-up.
Well, if New York's a toss-up, then it's a landslide for Trump.
Then Ohio and Florida will go Trump. North Carolina will go Trump. Virginia will be a toss-up. Iowa will go Trump. Colorado will go Trump because Trump people are in Colorado. They keep saying, oh, now it's going to be Democratic because Trump's the nominee. No, the Trump people in Colorado are fucking pissed because they didn't get the vote. They're going to come out and vote for the general. Colorado's going to go Trump. New Mexico will go Hillary. Nevada will go Trump. And then it's over. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen.
Florida goes Trump.
Oh, Florida's going to go Trump. I'm not even worried about
Ohio.
Florida.
Ohio goes Trump.
I'm just surprised these people. It's just Georgia. I've seen people saying Georgia's going to be a tough one now because Trump. What? Georgia? Are you serious?
What, they're going to vote for Hillary in Georgia?
Yeah, I've heard the Democrats talking about how Hillary could win Georgia now. What? Because the black vote, they don't understand the black vote, I don't think. I don't think they understand the black vote. I think they're delusional with the black vote because Barack Obama won 97% of it. It's going to bounce back to 15 to 20% that usually vote Republican. That's going to happen because Barack Obama's not on the ticket. It's going to happen. Then you have Donald Trump appealing to a lot of black folk. So we could get 25-30. I think we could get even higher. If people like that rapper endorsed him, who was against Trump, and said that she's sick of the Democrats speaking to them like little children, and then we get more people. Ice Cube said Trump's the American dream. I mean, these are people that are affluent in the black community.
What can I know really about the black vote? But I think the black vote can be swayed, and if it gets a certain watershed moment, like if it goes to a certain amount, it could be like a wave, and you could have a huge switch away from Clinton to a majority, even over to Trump. If it becomes
30-year-old plus black vote will definitely go Trump. I don't know under the 30s. I mean, the people
if it becomes acceptable, if it becomes
acceptable
to like Trump, huh?
I think it's starting to in the black community, especially among the older black people.
Yeah. If it becomes acceptable in their community to like Trump, it could switch huge because, you know, he wants to do so much more. Look what the Democrats, they haven't done anything. This guy wants to do stuff. He's cool. He's a billionaire. He's got planes and stuff. I don't know. That might appeal to younger ones. I don't know. Like, I think that if there's a point where he becomes acceptable to them, you could see a huge switch. Because I think a lot of them are just like, well, they hear he's racist and they're supposed to not like him. Right? But it's not very, there's really nothing underpinning that. That's just like, well, you're supposed to not like him because he's racist. But if you get a certain amount to switch over and realize he's not, it could be amazing. And imagine if Trump could get the black vote, there would be a whole new constituency for this new type of Republican Party.
And not only that, let's look at the black community. Who are the leaders of the black community? Like in the black home, who's the leader? Who's the person that you don't want to get angry at you? Who's the person that you respect? Big Mama.
Big Mama.
The Big Mama type. What does Big Mama do? She tells it like it is. What does Trump do? He tells it like it is. I mean, he appeals to the black community a lot more than they're letting on.
I don't think that Trump's going to get the Latinos, but the black vote is definitely up there, and women are definitely available.
I think he's going to get more Latinos than Mitt Romney. Mark it down.
I think
he'll get more than Mitt. I think he will.
Well, we'll have to see. Because, I don't know, I get a lot of bad negative things about Trump from the ones I see. But I don't know.
And are the ones you see citizens?
No.
They're not allowed to vote. They're not citizens.
They do vote, though. Somehow.
Because we don't.
Not most of them, though. Not most of them. There's a couple, though. A couple of the men have voted.
But you know that, of course, they're not citizens if they're here illegally. Of course you're going to say, Nate, I'm talking about the legal immigrant Hispanics. What did Mitt Romney get? 21%?
I don't know.
27%? I don't know. I think Trump gets more. I think he gets 30%, 30-31%. Surprised that the rally in South Bend, I saw a diverse gathering of people. Young people, old people, black people, Asian people. I mean,
yeah. In front of me, when I was in line, was a young white girl and a young Asian girl by themselves. I saw black guys. I saw black families. It's not
a lot of black
you
people.
Know. It's not like
it's
they say. Especially though, a lot of women.
I went to the Sarah Palin rally when she came to Indianapolis, and there was no black people, none. There was no Hispanic people. There was no Asian people. There was not that many young people. I went to the Trump rally. It's much, much more diverse. Much. So,
yep.
I think that the pundit class and the Democrats and these never Trump fools and the Republican establishment that is just upset that it's Trump are going to be the reason they're upset, especially the Republican establishment, is they know that if Trump wins, all the funny business that's been going on, and there's been funny business going on, that's going to stop.
He's going to cut it out. He wants his place running efficiently, making money. Oh,
yeah, but
Glenn was going off about how
he's gonna
take us into bankruptcy. He's gonna make us default on our loan, and China's gonna come in and seize their assets with their military, and World War III is gonna begin. What a wussy, Glenn. You are such a wussy man. And a fearmonger.
How is he going to take us into bankruptcy?
Oh, that's what, because he says, you know, he's good at debt. You know, if anybody, he's the king of debt. He knows how to deal with it. Our country's in so much debt, he's going to get us out of it, and he's going to figure it out, you know? And so that means he's going to declare bankruptcy.
Oh, my God, Glenn.
First off, you go and look
at the four bankruptcies, I think only one of them was a legitimate bankruptcy. It was a casino in
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City. The other three were what, Chapter 11, or I'm not sure, but where you restructure the company, and the companies that declared bankruptcy are still running today. So, I mean, that's what people look at. It's a business maneuver to restructure a company when you acquire it, so you can make – you're taking on a company in some deal that's made bad choices. So you declare what, Chapter 7 or – I don't know which one it is, whatever one it is.
7 or 11, I don't know.
And you rearrange their debt, and you rearrange the way it's set up, and then you reopen.
I'd like to take a trip in the Wayback Machine. Remember that poor old lady that Donald Trump wanted to kick her out of her house? And Jeb?
Yeah.
What? Oh, you act tough, but what about that old lady that... Yeah, that didn't work, did it? None of those things worked. Think of all the things that were laid out. The Michelle Fields, the old lady, the secret tape in the New York Times. Release the tape, Donald. All these things, and none of them worked.
The ducking Donald.
Teflon Don. He eliminated them all.
I don't read much into this. I saw a guy who gave his doctor, he said it was a, God told him this. And I don't buy, I'm not Glenn Beck, I'm not saying this. But it was, he gave it to his doctor on April 24th, 2011. The guy told him that Glenn Beck's going to be the next president of the United States. And just in detail, I haven't researched it, but just in detail, the way it was said, like, he will be like the duck with the feathers that the water falls right off. And I'm thinking, if this was real, and he gave this to his doctor in 2011, and his doctor vouches for this, that he gave this to him, this prophecy. I mean, it laid out exactly what happened in the election. Like, nothing that they did to him stuck to him. And just, like, you know, they do it. And
he's
like,
the anointed one.
Oh, man. What would happen if it turned out that Glenn Beck is completely wrong and Donald Trump really is anointed of God to come in? He's, like, the best president ever. You think Glenn Beck could go on?
I would prefer him to be the white horse of the Mormon prophecy. I don't know. I think that what Glenn Beck does is he just goes for losers, and so that he can be against the people, like, when they're in power. Like, I think Glenn's playing the long game where, okay, he suffers now, but he thinks that Donald Trump probably be bad and people won't like him. So he can just talk bad and say, look, I stood on my principles. I think that's what he's planning on. But
Trump is a transformation figure, like a Ronald Reagan. What does Glenn Beck do then?
Then he goes down in shame. The gamble he's taken, I guess. Other than that,
bad gamble.
Other than that,
when
maybe Glenn's
Trump
just
ever
insane.
Lost? When has Glenn Beck ever lost? Ever?
When
at anything?
Glenn Beck or Donald?
Not Glenn Beck. Donald Trump. When has he ever lost at anything? Not very often. You're taking a bad gamble, Glenn.
Trump stakes,
bad.
John.
Huh?
Trump stakes.
I hope Trump sends
Glenn a steak. Actually, no. Have you seen Glenn Beck? He looks like...
No.
Man, he needs to calm down.
I
like,
did see Glenn Beck. He looks kind of like the older fella that drives like the windowless van that you're afraid might rape your child. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've seen Glenn.
With his
Glenn
horrible
sweater.
Sweaters?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he looks like to me. Like, he's like the guy in the van with the free candy sign, preying on little children.
I just hope that Donald Trump, if he has Ted Cruz part of his administration, I hope that he doesn't put him in charge of school lunches. Because if you thought Michelle Obama was bad, wait till all they get is Campbell soup. I mean,
No, what I'm saying is I think what Donald needs to do is after the convention, he gets through the convention, and as long as Ted Cruz, well, even if Ted Cruz does act up, but if he doesn't act up, I say he releases his list of Supreme Court nominees, and he says, Ted Cruz is going to be my first appointment to take over for Antonio Scalia. Because all the Ted Cruz people then, what would they do? They'd have to get on board. They'd have to. Place Scalia with another principled conservative, as they believe? They'd have
with
to.
With Ted?
Yeah. That would, isn't that like the, that's like Glenn Beck's wet dream. Ted Cruz replacing Anthony Hill Scalia. But
yeah,
what Trump knows is Ted Cruz will never make it through the Senate.
No, because they all hate him.
You think yeah, so it's a win-win for Trump. He said, I put Ted Cruz up. He gets their votes. But then the Senate votes him down?
Yeah, Paul Ryan, you're a failure. That's another thing. I know we said it a little bit, but man, what a failure, Paul Ryan.
Yeah, he's like,
who even nothing?
Has Paul Ryan ever won anything?
Well, apparently he got into his seat there. But I mean, what has he done since he took over Boehner's thing? Remember, he was going to do something, but all he did was pass Obama's thing so he could get it out of the way so he could do something, but he never did anything. Just like Boehner.
Sarah Palin is,
I mean,
campaigning against him to get him, knock him out, Paul out, retire Paul Ryan. Or what did she say? We're going to canter him. They're cantering Paul Ryan.
So do we have any good vice president picks in mind? I'm real excited to see where he goes.
I say he goes with somebody off the wall. I say, I've been hearing a lot of chatter about Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza Rice.
I know it's a crazy pick, but I've been hearing a lot of chatter.
I don't know. I kind of respect Condoleezza Rice because I've seen a lot of interviews with her, and she is a very intelligent woman, you know. She's a little bit more interventionist, but actually, no, she didn't want to do a lot of the things. It's a little bit pandering because you have a black woman. But it's not based on her being black. She is a very intelligent woman. So I don't know. I guess that could be on there. I don't think it's going to be a Kasich. It could. What if it's a Newt Gingrich? I'd like that personally, but I don't think that would help him at all.
I don't think Newt. I don't think it'll be Newt. Newt will be some type of advisor, I think.
Yeah, it's just a little too
off-putting. Maybe like Donald Trump's special liaison to Congress, Newt. Newt can be a special liaison to Congress, make a new position for Newt. She knows how that
like
all works.
Said,
Newt would be a good,
yeah,
good sidekick to get stuff moving through Congress.
It could be John Boehner. I do think that the Sanders idea, I mean, would be unstoppable, but...
Yeah, but...
Impossible. So, I mean, we got a lot of things to look forward to.
I've been hearing a lot of chatter about Condi Rice. Then I've heard Condi Rice. These are three I've heard a lot about. Condi Rice and then the governor of New Mexico. What's her name? Susana Martinez, something like that?
Yeah.
And then that lady out of Iowa. What's her name? Archer or? Oh, man.
I don't know. I don't know.
She's a military lady. And she was a Tea Party. She ran for Senate. Oh, man. She would be a good choice, but I just don't think she brings much to the ticket.
No. And then you have people like Jan Brewer. They're just too negative. We need somebody to lighten it up a little bit. Make Donald Trump a little bit more friendly to all these people that are scared.
You bringing Joe
Biden? I thought
Rubio...
Yeah, Joe, Uncle Joe, everybody loves him. Uncle Joe, put him back in there. There you go, Joe. You don't want Sarah Palin. That'd be a disaster.
Yeah.
Even Sarah Palin knows that. Bob Dole.
Bob Dole's 100 years old. I don't think Bob Dole would... I don't know. I've been hearing a lot of Condi Rice and the governor of New Mexico, I think it's Susana Martinez, and then Joni Archer, I think her name is. She's a senator or a congressman from Iowa. Those are the three names that had a lot of chatter.
That sounds familiar. We'll have to see.
Condi
I'm
would
excited.
Be the strongest.
Yeah, of what we've been talking about, I just don't know. I just feel like maybe it might backfire with the black people. Maybe. I don't know. But
I always liked the Ben Carson. But I don't think he'll pick someone without. I think he'll pick someone that has political experience for his vice.
They need somebody with political experience, not Ben Carson. You can't have two outsiders. You need somebody that knows how to work it. Can't be Cruz. It needs to be somebody that's well-respected and liked. I don't know. That'll be very interesting to hear coming up soon. But like we said, it was a great 2 weeks. Donald Trump is the nominee, presumptive nominee, unless some backhanded things go on.
We'll be back
awesome.
Wednesday. If Donald Trump wins tomorrow in Kansas and West Virginia, it's completely clinched. No backhanded. We're good. No worries. But tomorrow are important for anybody out there that are, of course, go out and vote. I know they dropped out.
Yeah, don't forget to vote.
Get votes. Let's put this thing over the top. But we have about 2 minutes left. As always, we'll be back at our regular time on Tuesday or Wednesday, hopefully, if nothing goes wrong, 8 p.m. We should be back Monday and Wednesday every week. Kind of took off a little hiatus to help the Trump campaign. I did some campaigning, and we went to some rallies that interfered with our show time. So, but we'll be back. Hopefully in July we'll have a special show from you, hopefully coming from Cleveland. We'll see. We'll see if that works out. I'm trying to put that together. Should be interesting. But until next time, your host, John Albert, Jake Davis. Follow us on Twitter.
Good night.
Thank you.